This is CX of M Radio, the voice of customer experience professionals.
Hello, and welcome to another World of UX podcast. This is your host, Darren Hood. Thanks, everybody, for taking the time to join us on today. A special welcome, as always, to those of you who are listening in for the first time. We are continuing our series. We finally got here. I kept trying to get to this part. I couldn't get to it. We're here. We are in the next segment where we've been talking about traits of sinister culture of UX operating in today's UX circles. And I know some people who are, especially if you're listening for the first time and you haven't heard any of these sessions, you're immediately going to question why we would spend time talking about something like this. There are people who will say, "Ah, this is a waste of my time." Click. Okay, fine. That's everybody's prerogative, and that is fine, and that is dandy. Here's one thing that people need to consider. Everybody who's presenting content about the topic of UX has something behind what it is that they're doing. There's some experience. There is acumen. There's motives. There's purpose. There's a lot of different things. And I challenge you, for everybody you're listening to everybody whose content you tap into, and it doesn't matter what they're talking about with regard to UX, consider their expertise. How many years have they been doing the work? Where have they worked? What is it that they're presenting in their content? Is it really going to help those who are trying to grow in the discipline? Is it something that's generic? There's a lot of different things that people are going to present. There's a lot of reasons. There's a lot of purposes. But please know and understand that it's critical to know those things about every source, because that's the superpower, if you will, behind whatever somebody is presenting. And nobody can negate what anybody is bringing to the table. Whatever somebody is bringing to the table, and I'm going to qualify that statement in a moment, everybody who's presenting something has a reason why they're presenting it. Now, if somebody is just talking about how to do the work, that's fine. That's what's on their mind to do. That's how they want to contribute. All fine and dandy. I always say there's no shortage of people doing that. And if you want to know a quick and short answer of why I'm doing what I'm doing, and I've explained this multiple times, but I'm going to say this again today, not too many people are covering what I'm covering. And I'm going to address part of the reason why some people are not covering it today and why some people take umbrage to what I'm covering. There's a lot of people, I hear from a lot of people that thank me for the willingness to talk about what I talk about on this show. There's a lot of people who thank me for not pulling punches. There's a lot of people who appreciate what I talk about because you pretty much don't find anybody else talking about it. And because nobody else is talking about some of the things that I'm talking about, people are usually left hanging out on a limb because they encounter the things I'm talking about and they don't know what to do. And this show empowers people to be able to deal with things of this ilk. There are a lot of sinister things going on in UX today. And if somebody encounters them and they don't know what to do, they're going to be at a gross disadvantage. They're going to get blindsided and they're going to be left in a powerless state. I don't want to see people be in that state. I know these things are happening. I know why they're happening the vast, vast, vast majority of the time. And I want people to have something to fall back on. I mean, you know what's going on. The mere fact that you know what's going on already puts you in a position to be able to think through it and respond and to be able to strategize. And okay, if this happens to me, this is what I need to do. If this happens to me, this is how I should respond. If this happens, this is where my mind, this is where my head should be so that I'm not floored by these things and put in at a complete disadvantage. We don't want anybody to be in that position. And I know some of the things I just said are a little redundant. Some of you who've been listening have heard me say these things before, but I did mention a couple other things, a couple of additional things there that I think are critical for people to be aware of. Bottom line is, I want you to thrive. And the funny thing about this is the people who are not experiencing these things a lot of times is because they're either entitled or they're the ones dishing out the garbage. And the people who are not suffering, they won't find any of this relevant. And that does not negate the fact that these things are happening. Many of us are experiencing these things. We want you to be able to do better. So that's it. We are going to talk about that special segment today. The special segment as we get ready to wind this up. And I've got to split this into two different weeks because it's going to be presented in two different ways. Today, the subtopic that I'm talking about today, we've already talked about the war against seniors. And if you thought that was bad, today I'm going to be talking about the war amidst seniors. I'm very sorry to have to tell you that there's a lot of people in UX today. You have your fathers and mothers of the discipline, the people who were in it at the very, very, very beginning, of which I am not one. There's some people who will call me a pioneer. I'm not a pioneer. I'm not even close. The pioneers wrote books. The pioneers gave talks in the early days. The pioneers are older than me. I'm not a pioneer. Am I a caretaker? Yeah, you could call me a caretaker. You could even call me a gatekeeper in the true sense of the word and not what people are mean when they say somebody is a gatekeeper and they're trying to cast aspersions. We're not talking about those folks. But I am lobbying for quality assurance within the discipline. I am trying to take care of the discipline. I am trying to help make sure people are on the right path in the discipline. So I am doing those things. But I'm that second generation of UXers, if you will. I came shortly thereafter the Don Normans of the world and some of the other people who wrote books right after that who were already working in the discipline, but they didn't write books maybe until the late 90s or the early 2000s. Those are people that I consider to be pioneers, and I actually have had homages that I paid to those people. I appreciate what those people did. We would not be where we are from a standpoint of what we should be aiming at without those people. So, but yeah, please know, I've never said I'm a pioneer. I'm not a pioneer. I appreciate and I understand when people say that. I understand what they're getting at, but please know and understand, I am not a pioneer. But it's important to note, when folks were just starting out in the discipline, we have absolutely no signs whatsoever that those early leaders of what we now know as user experience, those people who were, again, writing the books, speaking at the conferences, things of that nature, we have no inkling, we have no evidence, we have no signs, we have nothing that says that those people were at odds with each other. Absolutely nothing. These people, Nathan Shedroff, Susan Weinschenk, Kelly Goto, there's so many different people that were writing those early books and contributing to the shaping of the discipline and the perception of the discipline and providing a North Star for us to follow. There were so many of those people, and I was one who I would buy all the books. I tried to listen to as many talks as I could. I mean, if I remember correctly, we didn't have YouTube in 1999, so you couldn't readily go and just tap into this stuff. That came along a few years later. We would frequent certain websites, and there would be critical information that we could go there and digest, and that helped to shape who a lot of us are that came up between, say, 97 and 2008. We were tapping into all these fantastic resources. No misinformation at the time. None. Everybody built upon what other people did. Everything was like a big giant puzzle, and everything that we came in contact with was like a piece of that puzzle. And you couldn't just listen to one person, because you can't make a puzzle based on information from one person. Not really. You could try, but that wasn't a good idea, because everybody was contributing something different, and they were either building on what somebody else said, or they were basically supplementing it in the sense that they were talking about a different topic or looking at it from a completely different angle. So it was really in a person's best interest. Same thing that we should be doing today. It was in a person's best interest to tap into all the resources that were being provided by all of these different people. Just wonderful, wonderful, wonderful stuff. But again, there was no discord in the earlier days of UX. Matter of fact, there was absolutely no discord until the misinformation starts to come into play around 2011 and 2012. When you started having also people who started to falsify their way into UX roles, when people would start to demonstrate the whole fake it till you make it mindset, where people would get up and they would just make presentations and they would do all types of things and make claims of having experience in UX when in fact they didn't at all. And that's when things started happening, and that's when you started to see a separation. You started to see people talking about a topic and other people talking about the same topic, but one presentation would be authoritative and the other one wouldn't. And people who have a respect for the pragmatic aspect of user experience, they love hearing authoritative presentations. But around 2013, 2014, 2015, you start coming across people who don't like authority. They like anarchy. They don't have a heart for the fundamentals. And the early boot camp efforts were the types of things that were fueling and funneling this kind of mindset, because they weren't talking about the fundamentals. It was just get somebody in, collect their money, get them out. It was like an assembly line of education that wasn't getting the job done. And in addition to that, it was giving people false pretenses, false perceptions about the discipline, but people were embracing it. And they were going forward. And then you have all these leaders that now you start to see these leaders, people who did not know anything about UX, who were being hired to run UX teams. Some of them actually did a good job. I knew some people, not just an old boss of mine who I consider to be the best boss I ever had. He was not a UX professional. I had a couple other bosses. They were not UX professionals and did an admirable job. But every time somebody who wasn't a UX pro who was leading the UX team did a good job, they knew that they weren't UX pros and they weren't trying to front like they were. Somewhere, things fell apart. And a lot of people who were not UX folks, who were given the responsibility of running the UX teams, that mindset of, well, I'm not a UXer, sort of went out the window. And a lot of those people started to present themselves as if they were. And so you have this, again, separation, where you have people that are going down the right road, but then you have a group of people starting to not only go down the wrong road, but splitting that wrong road into several different facets, several different examples of those wrong roles. And then when you fast forward to today, skipping over some of those evolutionary elements that took place over the next few years, in 2024, now we have the pioneers. Then you have the next generation, and you got another generation after that, and another generation after that. And every time we would go through another wave of UX professionals that comes into the ranks, we did not, when I came along, we appreciated the people who preceded us. The more you come down through the years, and you have new UXers, I mean, now you have people who've been doing UX for 2 or 3 years that are calling themselves seasoned. Other people with the same amount of seniority are calling them seasoned. You have people who are landing in principal roles who do not have the experience that was once required to get into a principal role. You have people who will quickly and easily, I've seen people, they go from one day they were a developer, and the next day they were a lead UX designer. No, that's not an issue. And we're going to talk about what that is in a bit and how something like that comes to be. But basically speaking, you had, again, the pioneers, and you had different generations that will come after the pioneers. And now you've got this thing where you have true seniors, and a true senior is someone that's a really seasoned person who's been doing UX for a long time. You're talking about at least 12 to 15 years, at least. And really, for the purpose of this discussion, we're going to say at least 15. And then you have some of us who've been doing 20, 25, 30. People who've been doing this work for a very long time. And a lot of the newer folks don't respect us. And that's one thing. And a lot of them don't respect us because they want to displace us because they want what we have. Just flat out telling you why that's happening. That's one thing. But I want to talk about the war amidst seniors, where you have people that have, they either have the 15, 20, 25 years of experience, or they're on the border. There are people, I've seen people who have anywhere from 8 to 15 years of experience. Most of the time it's somebody in the 8 to 10 or 8 to 12 range. And they just have nothing but absolute disdain for anyone with more experience than them. We're the ones keeping people from, keeping those people from being presented to the masses as the ones with the most seniority. And I see a lot of those people who present themselves as spokespersons for the discipline of UX, when the truth of the matter is they only have 8 to 12. You know, let's just cut that off too, because the way that I was always taught, you have to be in UX for 10 years before you can become a senior. So how about we just say, again, for the purpose of this presentation, 8 to 10. I see a lot of people, and they've got that 8 to 10. 8 to 10 years in UX, and that's fine. No problem. I got no problem with people in general and what they're aspiring to be and do. But there are some people, these are the people I have an issue with. The people who have 8 to 10 years, and they present themselves as if they have 20 to 25, and they just don't. And it's those people, all the way up to the ones who are actual seniors. Even some people, what I'm about to go through, people who have the 20 and 25 years, they have an issue with the people, other people who have extensive experience. That's a good phrase to use to describe what I'm trying to get at. Why in the world would people who have 15, 20, 25 years of experience be upset or have issues with other people that have the same amount of experience and try to displace us and try to make it look like we're irrelevant? This is happening so much, and the damage this is doing, because we should be supporting one another, the damage that this is doing is almost worse, if not worse, than what's happening on the other end of the spectrum. What I'm going to do, I'm going to talk about a few stories today, but what I want to do today is simply talk about some traits. I'll stop and talk about some of these traits as we're proceeding through this list. And then the next episode, possibly two, but at least one more beyond this one, I want to share some stories to show you how these things manifest. But this is some deadly, dangerous stuff that people are doing. Again, the pioneers, they weren't going back and forth. They weren't creating issue. They weren't doing some of the things I'm about to talk about today, but it is prevalent. It is happening like gangbusters just beneath where the pioneers are. So let's go through this pretty long list of items, but I want to call these things out. I want to put these things, again, like everything else, we're putting these things on people's radars, and I'm hoping that some of the seniors who are guilty, I'll use that term, of some of the things I'm about to mention will cease participating, will cease supporting these acts and behaviors, will cease empowering people who are doing these things. I'm talking to the seniors today, the real seniors, the ones with the extensive experience. Everybody out here with over 10 years of experience, we're talking to you today. These things need to cease. Trait number one, I have witnessed, and I've heard stories about all of these things. The first one is where you have some seniors, a group of seniors, over to my figurative left, are watching the seniors on my figurative right, and they have a biased eye. They have a biased perspective about everything that the other people are doing. They really don't understand, don't really know, and don't really care. And because they don't know, don't care, and haven't really applied any critical thinking to what those of us standing for the discipline are doing, they just sit there and they're just critical about it. They sit back and they watch us with a biased eye. Now, before I even break this one down anymore, please note, there is a difference between watching and seeing. If you have eyes and you are a sighted individual, anytime something crosses your field of vision, you see it. The difference between watching and seeing is the watchers go out of their way to see things so that they can accuse. They go out of their way to see things so they can criticize. They go out of their way to see things so that they can provide a distorted perspective on that thing that they were watching, but they don't really tell anybody that their views are based on bias and that they're connected to some type of an ulterior motive or some type of a goal. It's not an objective perspective. And remember, we operate in an objective discipline. We operate in a discipline that calls for ethics. And that includes when we see what somebody did, okay, you saw something somebody did and it just didn't resonate with you, or you had issue with it, you still have a responsibility. If you're going to give somebody your take on what somebody did, you still have a responsibility to be ethical, which means that you have to be objective. You have to be impartial. And that's the thing that's not happening. And so when you have somebody that is seasoned in this discipline and they choose to cast aspersions about what somebody did, but they're not being wholesome, they're not being accurate, they're not being objective, that creates problems, especially if we should be supporting the person who's under attack in such a situation. So, and don't watch any. Who has time for that? It's actually quite childish. And this is objective. It's childish. It's the kind of thing that you expect a 5-year-old to do, or somebody in junior high school. Not grown people who just sit there. Well, you could be doing 50 other things, and instead you're sitting there staring at somebody with preconceived notions in tow. When you have that mindset, by the way, that is an EQ red flag, then the person is only going to see things based on the dictates of the bias. So, and what in the world does this have to do with UX? Everything. Because it causes the people who are influenced to have skewed views that they should not have. So let's make sure that we're not doing that today. Akin to watching people with a biased eye, there are some folks who flat out spy. They just spy. How in the world can you spy on somebody and not know that this is something that's sinister? And, you know, and I want to pause for the cause there for a moment as well, because one of the thoughts that comes up is, you know, Darren, you keep talking about sinister traits. When you say sinister, what do you mean? Now, first, I want to pause again for the cause. After I already paused for the cause, I want to pause again for the cause. I find it amusing and insulting when people ask me that. Why? They only ask minorities that, for the most part. Or sometimes people, when they're being misogynistic, they'll ask a woman that because they don't think she knows. They do the same thing when they attack women. They attack minorities the same way, because as a person who is majorly of African-American descent, I am not solely African-American, but for the record, but because when they see me, they assume that I'm African-American on sight, and I'm not supposed to know what these different things mean, and I'm not supposed to be able to say the things that I'm saying, and that's racist. So some people are bound into isms and they can't do anything about it, because they're bound in the isms. But how about I just humor you for a minute? And when you ask me what I mean by that, just go look up the definition. You're going to find the same thing. And please remember, there's always more than one definition for a word, and the definition that is applicable depends upon the context. We all know that. We were taught that. We were in the second, third grade. So please don't come and ask me what I meant by something. Just go look up the definition. You have your answer. So here are some definitions of sinister. Suggesting or threatening harm or evil. Anytime somebody is doing something that it is suggesting or threatening harm or evil, that is sinister. Anytime something is coming forth based on evil characteristics or forces, I'm reading a straight up definition from one of the dictionaries online, then that is sinister. Anytime somebody does something that is dishonorable, that is considered sinister. And lastly, anytime somebody does something and their intent is to cause harm, that is sinister. So these are not, when I call something sinister, it's based on, again, experiences, observation, things of that nature. But these are not things that I'm just making up, and they're not coming from a perspective of ignorance. So now, back to our regularly scheduled programming. It doesn't make sense to spy on someone. If somebody thinks that it's okay to spy, I mean, why are you spying on somebody? If you want to know what somebody is thinking, why don't you just ask them? You don't have to spy. Hey, why are you doing that? I was wondering about this. I'm really confused about it. I see it from another perspective. Help me to understand where you're coming from, because I'm missing it. And adults can do that. But people who have EQ problems, people who have emotional intelligence deficiencies, people who are afraid to be transparent, people who are immature, just generally immature, and are going to be childish, they'd rather spy. But again, it's akin to the first one. They're going to see things from a biased perspective. So when you're spying on somebody, usually it's because they suspect something. It's very rare that people spy from a perspective of objectivism, which means that what you see in that spying frame of mind is going to be skewed anyway. So it's not trustworthy. It's not reliable. It's not going to help. It's not adult. It's unethical. And the funny thing is, people get upset at me for saying things like this, but they're not upset when people do it. So, you know, I'm not concerned about those people, right? So, at any rate, akin to number one and number two for today is that of something. This is a word we don't hear. We hear it in its short version. We don't hear it in its long version. And the word is reconnoitering. Again, this is akin to watching people with a biased eye. It's a type of spying. Reconnoitering, or the word that everybody is used to hearing, if you're familiar with it at all, is recon. Recon is a short term for reconnoitering. And in reconnoitering, in the sense of spying, a person goes out and they look out, they look at, and they try to check out the land of the enemy. They try to look at how the enemy is establishing themselves. They try to go and see what's going on in this given area, a particular area, the point of focus. The note about doing reconnaissance, that's another word that comes up, they're all the same thing. When somebody's doing reconnaissance, when somebody's engaging in reconnoitering, that's one aspect of it. There's another aspect of it, and this is the part that makes it that much more sinister, is that some people, they pretend to be your friend. And the only reason they do it is because they're spying. So that's the difference between reconnoitering and spying, that the person doing the reconnaissance, when it comes to personal dynamics, we're not talking about warfare, we're talking about from a personal dynamics perspective. When a person does that from a personal dynamics perspective, they present themselves as if they are not harmful. They present themselves as if they're on your side. They present themselves as if they're to be trusted, and they can be trusted, when actually all they're doing is gathering information so they can take it back to whoever they've been farmed out to do their little dirty work for. There are people, I know, it saddens me to say it, but I'm not going to hold back. I don't hold back. I never hold back. And I'm not going to hold back now. There are people who do this kind of thing, or they like to play both sides of the fence and they like to appear that they're friends with both people. Some people just choose to be the reconnaissance person on their own, and they like to be in the midst of two parties or two people or two purposes, and they just take information from one and take it to the other person. Then they take information from that person and take it back to the other person, and they just sit there playing both sides, just doing whatever is in their best interest, which we don't have to mention it. That's another EQ red flag. But engaging in reconnaissance, doing recon, reconnoitering, that's not a good thing. So, folks, that is a sinister trait. It's something I have witnessed amongst people who are considered to be seniors. It's a really sad thing. And the thing that a lot of people who are doing this kind of stuff don't understand is that it's destroying us from the inside. Whatever somebody's trying to do, I wish people would just be more forthright about it, just be more honest about it, and not play games. But all these games, it's crazy. Something else that's happening among seniors is that there's a lot more people who classify themselves as being extremely seasoned, and they use this one word. I talk about this word sometime, and I've expressed concern about it on multiple occasions, but I'm just starting to see it more and more amongst seniors towards other seniors, that they'll say, hey, we're being judgy. And I mentioned in last week's episode, it's amazing how people will claim that somebody is being judgy. They'll speak negatively. I have to say it that way for the purposes of this dialogue. They'll speak negatively about judgment, but then turn around and talk about how important a design critique is, or how important constructive criticism is, when that's nothing but another type of judgment. When we tell people, and my actual, the way I've listed this is, they are frowning on judgment. Oh, and please note, self-awareness, the first tenet associated with emotional intelligence, is also a type of judgment. So you have to judge yourself. You need to know who you are. You need to know what you bring to the table. You need to know the quality and the value prop of what you're doing, let alone what's going on with other people. So these kinds of things are really, really interesting, that somebody would frown on judgment one minute, and then knowing that that same component is something we need to rely on in order to excel in the discipline. Oh, but it's okay to tell somebody who's actually saying something critical and critically, it's critically important. It's an absolute necessity. But we not only try to discourage people from doing it, but discourage people from valuing it. This is coming from seniors toward other seniors. These things should not be. Nullification. Next one up on the list. Nullification. There are people that take time to try to negate what some of us are doing for the good of the discipline. This is one of the most criminal, sinister traits that's happening. You have a senior, such as myself, and there's others, I'm not the only person doing this, who are doing things for the good of the discipline, trying to educate, trying to encourage, trying to sharpen people, just trying to help people be their best selves. And we're very, again, I'm not the only one doing it. We're very forthright. We don't pull punches. We don't coddle people. We tell people exactly what they need to hear, even if it might not be popular. And then you have these other people. They've been in the discipline 10 and 15, 20, 25 years, who don't like what we're saying, don't like what we're doing. So now, from a bias empowered perspective, they go to influence up and comers or other seniors to nullify, to try to take some type of action that negates the things that we're doing, to try to make it of none effect. Basically, senior, these are seniors doing this. There's time for an example. When I see people, they hear the types of things I'm saying, the types of things I'm talking about right now, and then they get before a group of other, either up-and-coming UXers or other seniors, and they'll say, yeah, there's Darren again out there pontificating. Pontificating has to do with people who are speaking from a perspective of pride and who are saying something from a perspective of dogma. There's absolutely nothing dogmatic. A statement without support, without validation and justification. That's what dogma is. Something that somebody just says, and they just want you to do it and follow it blindly. Nobody is saying any of that. But that's what those people say. So they'll say, Darren's over there pontificating again. And then people, many times out of the respect that they have for the person who accuses us of pontificating, they just pull back. It's not because they listened to what the person said, engaged in critical thinking. You know what? Darren is pontificating. He really is. I wonder if he knows he's doing that. Blah, blah, blah. Yada, yada, yada. So on and so forth. There's no way in the world that you're looking at what we're talking about. Me and others like me. There's no way in the world that you're looking at what we're talking about, engaging in critical thinking, examining it. Is it accurate? Will it benefit you? Once you get those two and those boxes are checked, there's no pontification going on. Absolutely none. And the people accusing us of pontificating are doing nothing to address the things that we're addressing. That lets you know that something is going on. That's like somebody is robbing the bank. We're trying to let you know that people are robbing the bank. And then somebody complains because we're talking about people that are robbing the bank. And the bank is still being robbed. Whether we say anything or not, the bank is being robbed. Those other people turn a blinded eye to the fact that the quote unquote bank is being robbed. That lets you know who they are. And please note, everybody who's guilty, everybody can get better. Everybody can turn around. All they have to do is choose to do so. So we're not throwing anybody under the bus. We're just calling out things that need to be called out. But everybody deserves an opportunity. It has a chance to write their own personal ship, and all they have to do is do it. But nullifying what people are doing for the good of the discipline, that makes no sense whatsoever. When you have people who run certain mentoring outfits who will take time to get on social media and troll people. I've been trolled by people who run certain mentoring organizations, and how can you do that but claim to be doing something that's supposedly for the good of the discipline? You got sweetened bitter water coming out of that fountain, and there's a problem. The water that comes out of the fountain is either going to be sweet or it's going to be bitter. And don't say that when we're calling things out that that's bitter. That's not bitter. Matter of fact, folks drink bitter water. If you drink bitter water too long, your taste buds are going to get thrown off. So just to throw another little metaphor out there. So that nullification should not be happening. Akin to that one, aiding and abetting. When people are, again, robbing the bank, and some folks don't do anything. Number one, a lot of people, they aren't sensitive to it. They don't know that the bank is being robbed. But when they don't do anything, or they facilitate the proverbial, the metaphorical robbing of the bank, you are guilty of aiding and abetting. Those people are aiding and abetting the people that are more directly tearing the discipline down. So seniors are doing this, not the entry level folks. I'm not talking about the person been doing UX for 2 years and has a senior title. That's just a crime in and of itself. I'm talking about the people that have been around for a while and they're paving the way for people to do things that are inappropriate. That's really sad, especially when the person who's being aided and abetted knows that they're doing wrong. And I know people like that, and they go out making connections with people who will aid and abet them so they can accomplish their goals, even though they shouldn't be out there doing it and the other people shouldn't be supporting them. So aiding and abetting, bad trait, but it's happening in droves. Here's a really, really, really sad one. And I want to make a statement about myself here, something that's a personal statement about my modus operandi. I love supporting other people in the discipline and always make it a point. I don't care whether it's a post that somebody puts out that's great, that's driving the discipline forward. Somebody shares a job, an entry-level job. I want to share that entry-level job. I want to comment for visibility on LinkedIn. I want to support. Somebody got a book. I want to go and buy that book. I want to support them. I know that what they're doing is right. I want to support them. I talked about this in a recent episode. We don't support each other enough. And a lot of people support stuff they shouldn't be supporting. But there's also this other aspect that I don't believe I've talked about this before. There are people out there who don't really support anybody. I'm talking about seniors. They don't support anyone. And when I say anyone, let me define that. They support people, because you might get this confused. There are some people, they appear to support folks, but they only support folks that are tied to their work. They only support folks that are tied to maybe some big initiative that they have, or they gain something by supporting that individual. But as soon as they stand nothing to gain by supporting those individuals, they support, that support goes out the window. That kind of stuff, this is happening in droves, and folks are going to start, oh my goodness, who's he talking about? It doesn't matter who it is. What matters is it shouldn't be happening. Folks should support everybody. If somebody is doing something worthy of support, support it. If somebody is doing something that's not worthy of support, then don't support it. But folks better do a good job of understanding who needs to be supported, what needs to be supported, what should be supported, and what shouldn't be, and then draw the line in the sand, so to speak, and stand on the right side of that line. But this thing where support is very cronyistic, that's bad. A lot of support is sexist, and that includes the folks who have a tendency to complain about sexist things being done to them and then turn it around and then being sexist themselves. That type of hypocrisy, another trait that needs to be done away with. This support, we need to support. Hey, so-and-so had a post. What they said was great. Like. Whatever way you choose to illustrate your like. If you have a comment to add to the discussion, do that. Take the discussion forward. People are doing ridiculous things and they're going viral. Why is it that people can say things that everybody needs and it doesn't get any support at all? And then you have some folk, and I know we're all slaves to the algorithm, whether we like it or not. We only see what the algorithm deems we see. But there are some people, they see things, and they just choose not to support it. Why? Because they get nothing out of it. That's an EQ red flag, folks. We need to be better at supporting one another. Our support should not be cronyistic. It should not be sexist. We need to have impartial support, objective support, of anything that vaults the discipline forward. So let's make sure we do that. And then I got to tell a story about this one. Some people, I've seen this happen a lot. It's usually other people who are seniors who are guilty when I've seen it, where there will be a talk. Somebody's attending a talk, especially when it's virtual. There'll be a talk and people will have a separate conversation. There, the person is up talking, and somebody will start, a senior, will start a separate conversation aside from the talk that's live in the moment. These people will start a conversation in the chat, in the talk that's being held virtually and drawing everybody's attention away from the talk. And seniors, everybody should be listening to the, they came to hear the speaker. They didn't come to hear the person in the chat. Oh, and who we, this person is starring during this talk. Joe Blow and Jane Doe will be speaking in the chat. You can engage in chat with Jane Doe and Jane Doe and Joe Blow. Come on and chat with, no, that's not why people come to a talk. They came to hear the presentation. So it's really sad that people will do that, but they do. People will hold conversations in an in-person conference. Seniors will have people in the hallway rallied around them. It's that whole narcissistic thing. Let's go listen to the person delivering the talk, please. Let's exercise some professional courtesy. Let's go and hear what the person is saying. Hear and see, what are they going to present? Is it sound? Is it not sound? I'm thankful for going to Convey US. I heard some dynamite talks when I was at Convey UX. Some people won't hear them because they've been in the hall because they got to have other people listening to them talk. They can't listen. to anybody else. I'm not saying that happened there. I have seen it before, though. I didn't see it at Convey UX, but I've seen that before. And definitely, I've been victimized by the person who decides to hold the chat. And it's really something to see these types of things happening. Some people, they just want to be the point of focus. And it's usually seniors that are guilty. Darren, this is such a downer. It's happening. And I saw it. If you didn't see it, then I'm putting it on your radar. But don't punish me, because I can see that would be an EQ red flag. We don't want to do that now, do we? So, any rate, akin to the nullification, just sort of putting the nullification on steroids. And for the next one, there are people who actually engage in deliberate labor, and all they want to do is negate somebody else's influence. And I see seniors doing this. It's not good. It does not help the discipline at all, especially when the reasons that somebody is doing it are inappropriate and inaccurate, and they only serve the interests of that person. I saw somebody once, I've told this story before, somebody took one of my posts on social media. This is a person who is a respected, seasoned person in the discipline. This person took my post, rearranged the words to make it sound like I said something completely different, and then started, knowing that there were some people who were really taken aback by what I said. This person monetized the resting of my words, the rearranging of my words, used it to draw people into some of the stuff that they were doing to try to get them, okay, well, Darren's going to do like, he's going to treat you like this. Well, I'm going to be here with my arms wide open. I'm going to welcome you. And, oh, I'm so glad that somebody's a senior will embrace me. And the whole thing was a ruse. The whole thing was a ruse. And they don't realize by the time you're done, that person has $200 of your money. It's run off. I don't have any of your money. Never wanted any of it. The only thing I do that even comes remotely close is the new Kaizen Tees operation I have, that somebody said, hey, you, the things that I say either on the podcast or at a talk, man, if that was on a t-shirt, Darren, I'd buy it. So I launched something that does it. Is there a cost associated with that? Yeah, there is. But, you know, and we do that. It's a fun way to get the word out. UX is not UI, amongst other things that we say on a constant basis. And somebody even had the audacity to post, I think I talked about this once, to actually create their own shirt that was just like it and then post a link to it so people could buy it as a reply to one of the posts where I was sharing. I mean, there's no sensitivity. No sensitivity. Somebody else was doing something and they were trying to, if somebody was trying to sell a UX course, that's like me say, hey, I got a course too, and then go to sell my course right after yours as a reply to yours. Now we have competing elements. People don't know that that's unethical. So at any rate, it's really crazy stuff though, but no side conversations. Let's have respect for the person that's presenting and let's support the person. If you're there and the person is speaking, then you should be there to take in their talk, not to steal attention away to oneself. Not appropriate. Next, creating a straw man argument. There's people who will, a person will say one thing, whether it's on social media or during a talk or whatever. Somebody will extract something from that statement, post, whatever's going on in the presentation, but they'll take what somebody said and present what they didn't say and act like that's an issue. I see seniors doing this to one another. And again, it draws attention to the person who created the straw man argument, who fabricated an issue that wasn't an issue out of something that the person was presenting as an issue. The straw man stuff needs to stop. And if the more of us that learn what a straw man argument is, the better we'll be at spotting it and not becoming victimized by it. Today, a lot of us are victims. Today, a lot of us are pawns. We're being used as pawns, I hate to say it, by seniors who are trying to cast another senior down. And it's really sad, but it's happening a lot. Next, people who engage in character assassination. They engage in character assassination. They don't like somebody, so they just do everything they can. Again, it's that It's that fifth grader stuff where they just don't want somebody to embrace a person. I've been victimized in my time in UX where people will, they'll be appreciative of what I'm doing. And then they're talking to another person or another set of people and they express appreciation for what I'm doing. And somebody, they just fume. They just can't stand the fact that somebody appreciates what I'm doing and they're just not having it. So they just, yeah, I know it sounds unrealistic. It sounds ridiculous. It's happening and it happens a lot. And so they do everything they can to now draw attention to themselves, to make Darren look like the bad guy. And then the next thing you know, I go back to interact with this person. Now this person wants nothing to do with me, but they're all over the other person. And it's really sad. I've witnessed this a lot. I've been victimized by it a lot. And it was done to me by another person who's very well seasoned in the discipline. These things ought not be. Again, I can't say that enough. Sometimes you have situations where people just instigate. They just try to, there's an issue, there's a concern, and somebody comes along and they're not trying to give clarity. They're not trying to support. They know that a person is feeling a particular way, and they just want to capitalize on the fact that person feels a particular way. So they just come along and they just instigate. They don't provide objective input. They don't provide any insight. They don't help the person engage in critical thinking. They just want the person to keep going down this road of bitterness. And so they just instigate. They just keep sticking something in that little wound just so they can take the person further down the road that they're already on. If we're seniors, here's something about seniors people don't know that should be. If a person is really a senior, we should always be taking a person to the North Star. That's the mark of a true senior. If a person is trying to get you to follow after their premises and their purposes and their mindsets, that's akin to that my way or the highway kind of thing. Folks, even with the stuff I'm talking about, there's more than one way to do it. You don't have to do it my way. When I'm presenting something, it's to help you to think more than anything else. So you're going to think through this stuff. You're going to embrace this stuff. You're going to look at the concept. Go apply critical thinking. You do not have to come back and become a disciple of Darren Hood. Don't want it. Not asking for it. Don't want it. Do I want you to think and grow in UX? You better believe it. So it's not about me. I say that often. It's not about me. It's not about following me. It's not about being in my crowd or anything of that sort. I couldn't care less. That's not it. I want you to do well, and that does not require you being on my shirt tail, if you will. It requires everybody looking at the principles, looking at the fundamentals, looking at what excellence is, committing to excellence, and none of that stuff has anything to do with me. So, I'm going to help. A real senior helps a person to look at and follow the North Star. And that's it. It's not about following individuals. So instigation, that should not be something in our toolbox. Akin to character assassination and instigation, is that a framing? Trying to make somebody look a particular way. Trying to make somebody look like they've done something they haven't done. Trying to make somebody look like they're guilty of something when they are completely innocent. There are seniors that take the time, like the story I told about the person who tried to make it look like I was abusing juniors, and that wasn't the case at all. That person actually wanted to sell some classes. So they framed me in order to, so these are related, they framed me in order to make a buck. They framed me in order to appear important. People, I remember one instance where we were having a conversation in a Slack room somewhere, and someone, they just kept putting words in my mouth, things I didn't say, and the straw man argument. They just kept bringing stuff up, and I kept going, wait a minute, I didn't say that at all. And then I would tell them, well, this is what I did say. They would ignore me and just keep saying the same thing. The person actually, and this was a sexist individual who was like, kill all men. That was her mindset, kill all men. And you could tell that that's what, I know some people will hate the fact that I said that, but the truth is, it's happening, folks. it's happening like way more than people think. And then people don't want us to talk about it. And people get angry at me just because I'm telling you this story. But it's happening. And the person wanted to get me off of the radar of what was going on, the reason why we were in that particular Slack area. They wanted to get me off of people's radar. And they succeeded. They actually succeeded because the people who were making the decisions weren't really trying to do anything equitable. They weren't trying to do the right thing. They just wanted to do a thing. And so when you have leaders that, and this is another topic, but we have leaders that won't take a stand for the right thing, these kind of people are, they're being aided, they're being abetted, they're being supported, they're being empowered. And that's what happened in that situation. They also have what the next item is on the list, apathy. We're where we are today as a discipline. I alluded to this earlier. We are suffering the way we are in UX today because a lot of people, if more people were standing up the way that me and other people are standing up for the discipline, do you realize how much healthier the discipline would be? Do you realize how much more people in leadership would understand UX instead of people who are just, they just don't care. As long as they get a check, they don't care. There are people who are so apathetic, they just don't care what happens at all. As long as they can survive, they just don't care. And so the issue that's directly related to the war amidst the seniors is that some people see what one group of seniors or one senior is doing to another senior or group of seniors, and they just choose not to concern themselves. They're apathetic about it. They're completely indifferent. They don't care that somebody is being misrepresented. They don't care that somebody is being sold down the river. They don't care that somebody is being done a disservice. They don't care. They just don't care. They're apathetic. That's not good. It's unethical, and it has hurt the discipline possibly more than anything else that I've mentioned on this list. They are apathetic. And so this is a problem today, folks. And that's going to actually end the list for this episode. These are the things that are happening among seniors. And they are things that need to be changed. If you're guilty of any of these things, if you can think of things where you saw these things happening, know that you do play a part in these situations getting straightened out. You do. When people bring you their stories, if you accept it, if you don't deal with it the right way, that means void of the isms, void of subjectivism, void of bias, full of ethics. If we don't do those things, then the war amidst seniors, it has been aided, it has been abetted, it has been fueled. And that's why it's so rampant as it is today, because a lot of people are apathetic towards it, quite frankly. If we can right the ship on this and make the atmosphere amongst the seniors, the true seniors of the discipline, if we could make that more fruitful, if we could make it more empathetic, wow, bring that word up. If we could make it more fair, if we could level the playing field, everybody would benefit. But today, it's dangerous, it's toxic, and I'm hoping that it gets better before it gets worse. So that's the first part of the war amidst seniors. And then next week, I'm just going to tell a bunch of stories and just help people understand what's happening when they see these types of things at work. And hoping that people will say, you know what, we do have to do something about this. You know what, Darren's not being dogmatic. These are real issues. Yeah, we do need to address these things. We do need to resolve these things. We must stop tolerating these things because that's what's happening today. And we're paying price for it. So, folks, that is all the time. Sort of more lengthy today, but that's all the time we have for today. Thanks again, everybody, for taking the time to listen in. But until next time, it is time to sign off. So this is Darren Hood, the host of The World of UX, wishing everybody all the best. And until next week, happy UXing, everybody.
Thanks for joining us for this session of CX of M Radio. Be sure to rate, review, and subscribe to the show, and visit cxofm.org for more resources.